This is CliffCentral.com.
It's Demi Lovato. It's Demi Lovato with a song that Mabali would love. It's called Sorry Not Sorry.
Ah, yeah. Yep.
Right. Yep. Yes. So everybody's talking about this eclipse that passed over America. You know, with the sun was totally obscured by the, there was just a ring of, you know what the eclipse is? You get the partial eclipses and you get the full eclipses and you get the solar ones and you get the lunar ones. Mm. A solar eclipse is when the moon comes between the earth and the sun and blocks the sun. And a lunar eclipse is where the earth comes between the sun and the moon. So we eclipse the moon. Does that make sense? You know, you sometimes see a shadow on the moon?
Yep.
And then when the moon isn't there at all, that's because there's a lunar eclipse. Solar eclipse, the moon blocks the sun. So Americans are all excited about this. And I tried to get Prof Block to talk to us about it, but he's in lectures all morning this morning, so he couldn't make time for us. But did you see all the jokes going around?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody, today is the day of eclipse jokes.
It's still trending on Twitter as we speak.
So what are the ones you saw?
Well, for me, my favorite was someone tweeting along the lines of the only eclipse I want to see, and was a picture of President Trump and then slowly being covered by President Obama until President Obama was right in front again. Like, that's the only eclipse I want to see.
I saw a brilliant one of this this guy sitting at a football or a baseball or a basketball match. A black guy, and he's sitting there, and then suddenly this white woman pops up, but directly in front of him, and blocks his face completely.
That's the eclipse. These are, what people are doing. Ridiculous. But NASA says, you know, join us again in 2024 for the next eclipse. I'm like, no, dude, we aren't about to put
2024,
this in.
2024, is that when the next one happens?
Yeah, according to NASA.
Well, it's not that long.
I mean, years is... Oh, this is maths again.
7 years.
Yeah, seven years.
Seven years to go, and then we'll have another one. But it's interesting that it took place right over the United States. Some people are saying it's a sign from God that the U.S. is in God's bad books with Trump and everything. You know, because in the old days, no, if you think about it, these eclipses, we couldn't explain them. Our ancient ancestors had no idea what was going on. They thought it meant bad things were coming.
Yeah, they must have been terrified when stuff like this would happen.
Can you imagine? Cursed by the gods.
Yeah.
Night while there's day. It must have confused the hell out of them. They must have thought everything's going to fall down. In fact, somebody sent me a screenshot of what someone in the religious right in America was sending around. Do you want to hear this? On Monday, August 21st, the United States will experience a total eclipse of the sun. Here are some helpful tips for the best eclipse viewing experience. The people of Tennessee may have the best view, but they will also be the first to be sacrificed.
Oh.
Animals will behave strangely. If your dog speaks like a man, heed its dire warnings.
Oh.
Don't trust the squirrel with a child's face. It speaks only lies. When your double arrives, resist the inclination to fight it. It may be stronger than you. Chances are it will disappear after the eclipse. Be careful it doesn't switch places. It may be a few decades before you get the chance to come back. If you stare into the void and it blinks first, you win. But the prize is insanity. Werewolves are not only impossible to kill during an eclipse, they become super werewolves.
Oh, sure.
Gotta be so
careful. So basically, just lock yourself up during an eclipse.
Whatever you do, do not buy any weird plants. We don't want a repeat of last time.
What happened last time?
I don't know. Apophis, the moon serpent, may try to eat you. Let him.
What? No.
Yes. If once upon a time you were falling in love, but now you're only falling apart, there's nothing you can do. It's a different kind of eclipse. Do you know where that comes from?
Somebody who hit the bong pretty hard that day.
No. No, it's from a famous song, and she was actually performing this song on a cruise ship.
Total Eclipse of the Heart?
Correct. Bonnie Tyler, that's exactly right.
I was waiting for it.
And of course, she was famous for the song. It was a 1980s hit, and she was on a cruise ship, and she was apparently singing it, at the time that the eclipse took place, and everybody loved it. People were paying, I think it was triple the normal price to be on that ship so they could hear us singing this during the eclipse.
Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming around.
Amanda knows the words.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
How does it go?
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of
how does it go? Turn around, come on.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified and then I see the look in your eyes.
Turn around, wide eyes.
Every now and then I fall apart.
Yes. Can you imagine being in a cruise ship? You're right under the total eclipse of the sun.
Granted, she can only perform this song every couple of years during an eclipse, you know? So.
I think she needs the money. She'll perform it every day if she has to. How old is Bonnie Tyler now? Didn't she come to South Africa recently? Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks ago?
She's 66 now.
Yeah, and most South Africans, obviously, we didn't see a damn thing when it comes to this eclipse because it was only off over North America. So it was far from us. Anyone look up and see anything?
And I need you now tonight. And I need you more than ever.
And if you only hold me tight.
All right, here's a criticism for Ben. Ben, dropping spoilers from leaked episodes is not cool. Seriously, dude, not cool.
When did I do such a thing?
Yesterday on the show.
Bullshit, I was taking an educated guess. It's not my fault I'm smart.
Listen, Ben has written an entire porno. Yeah. I think what this says here is that clearly he could go into writing for television. He's that good.
Well, thank you, Mavali. There we go.
Yeah.
They say the eclipse would be a best tourist outing for aliens because having a moon and a planet that aligns so perfectly elsewhere in the universe is such a slim chance. So if there were aliens, the only time they would really visit us is during an eclipse like yesterday. Because for them, that would be a major tourist attraction.
Oh.
Understand?
Okay.
A lot of people are wondering whether they could buy shares in ANN 7 and the New Age.
Oh.
Would you?
I'd wait for Anthea to give the go-ahead.
I think she
Anthea is the only person I trust.
I think she kind of said no already.
Oh, well.
All then. Right, let's meet Joel Baepi, who is a businessman. He's also the chief legal advisor, head of legal for Old Mutual, emerging markets. He's got a radio career in his younger years that we've got to talk about. And has a passion for education as a supporter of Prime Stars, My Future, My Career, something I've been involved in for a while. So he's as passionate about that as we are. Right, Sia, you love education too. It's important. You understand how big a deal this is to young people in South Africa, right?
Mm. And this is where we first met Joel a few months ago now, when he was speaking around this matter. So we said, hey, let's have a little chat with him here this morning.
Absolutely. And My Future, My Career is a terrific initiative that was started by Prime Stars, which helps young people find the career that matters to them, that they can make the most difference in and where they can be involved. It also promotes education, particularly science and maths education, and Old Mutual are very much involved in that. So, Joel, it is a pleasure to meet you. Big fanfare. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. I would have expected like a 40-second warning to step into the studio.
Let's give you more time.
No.
We'll give him more time. Just let the trumpeters play in the meantime. Listen to this intro. So is it true that you started off in radio when you were younger?
That's a bit of an overstatement. I went to UCT and got interested in radio during Mark Gilman's days.
Oh, wow. Were you on radio?
Yeah. And after Mark ran the radio, Randall took over.
So you know Randall?
Well, yeah, we know each other.
Would you like to embellish that a little bit?
We know each other enough to visit each other's houses share vinyl. And
so you have the same obsessions as he does when it comes to music.
I don't have a listening room.
Yeah, he has a whole room just for listening.
Just for listening.
Does he make you sit there and play endless records to you?
No, no. Actually, I volunteer sitting there. He's got a great stereo spot. So
yeah,
we fight over this spot.
That's some sound system, huh?
Yeah.
That's an incredible situation he's got going on there. He's an audiophile.
Yeah, he doesn't like the name, but yeah, that's what we call him behind his back.
So what kind of music do you listen to when you're there?
Oof, I'm jazz heavy.
Okay.
But
very sophisticated.
No.
Yes.
Listen, I go as far left or right as Chesney Hawkes, so...
Okay, that's such white music.
Or the Trogs, even.
That's the whitest music in the world, Joel.
I was surprised. On UCT radio. I couldn't help it, man. I mean, have you ever tried finding black music in 91 in
no.
the record library of UCT radio?
Didn't happen,
it's a bit
right?
hard. So.
No, you're playing to students.
You're playing to students.
And that was also the time when it was kind of alternative rock and grunge, and it wasn't a particularly bright time.
I drew the line there.
Shame, I'm sorry.
No, I drew the line there, and I said, look.
So you had a show?
Yeah, I had a show. In fact, after Randall, I ran the radio.
Really?
I was station director for UCT Radio after Randall, so it's Mark Randall and myself.
Did you manage to improve the record library?
We did, thanks to, I forget the record shop on Rubik Street now.
Uh-huh. You brought in a little more
Tracks,
variety.
I think it was called.
Nice.
I think it was called Tracks.
Isn't it amazing how much music has changed, huh? And how the music industry has changed.
You
used to probably go out and buy records.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you still do that? Is there still a place you can do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
There are?
In fact, Johannesburg has got a great setup. Every first Sunday of the month, there's a record fair at 44 Stanley. You need to check it out. It's quite nice.
Yeah, I can. It's probably just you and Randall. There's no one
else. No, you can't find parking.
Really?
You can't find parking.
A lot of people?
And yeah, if you want some good stuff, you get there early. And yeah, and twice a year, there's a really big one, like a proper record fair.
So this is the early kind of stage of your interest in music and all the rest of it. But it must be a difficult thing to decide what your hobbies are. And you know, we talk about my future, my career.
Yeah.
What your hobbies are and what you're going to make your career. Because you ended up being a chief legal advisor and head of legal for Old Mutual. Now, that's not playing around. That's almost at the opposite end of the spectrum to being a DJ and being a music aficionado.
Yeah, look, I just got fired from that job last year. And
You got fired?
They gave me another one. We'll talk about the other job that they gave me. No. The head of legal now reporting to me. So I took other pieces.
So you're even more important is what you're saying.
More enslaved is the way I would.
Because being in a corporation can be very challenging, just like being on your own in business can be very challenging for different reasons.
Yeah, because you know corporations live. You know they've got their own style, culture. It's not just a collection of people. There's a
and Old Mutual's such an old. I mean, old is even in the name. It's such an old company. Is it atrophied? Are there old? Are there 3,000-year-old men wandering around in the corridors from the days of the Cretaceous era who started the company?
Well, there are parts of the business that feel like it, but it's also a very young company in a lot of ways. A lot of young people doing creative things. And us guys in regulatory and legal trying to keep things old, you know, order and things. But it was...
I think you mischaracterize yourself.
It was a strange trip, Gareth. And that's why I got so interested in this, my future, my career thing. So
yeah.
I was born in Potchefstroom.
Mm-hmm.
In Ikageng, actually. I was born in Ikageng. And went to a boarding school in the middle of nowhere. Sometimes when I describe my school, I say, you know, if the world ever needed an enema, my school would be the place to put the pipe.
Wow, horrible. What an awful place. Do you even want to mention where it is?
Yeah, it is like 25, 30 Ks after Ventersdorp and 14 Ks before Collini.
What kind of a boarding school was this?
Wow, the radio show is not long enough.
Were you the only black guy in that boarding school?
No, we were all black kids.
Oh, okay.
in that school. And
was it horrible for you? Or?
No, it was great. But it's horrible in retrospect. Because, I mean, you're thinking, what kind of people put kids through this?
Well, your parents, they knew what they were doing. Look at how successful they became.
Well, yeah.
They knew what
some
they
of my schoolmates are more successful, I'm afraid.
There we go. So it's a good recipe. But boarding school must have been, listen, no one wants to, when you're a kid, you'd rather be at home with your parents. You'd rather be.
No, I couldn't wait to go back, man.
Really?
Yes. So it was a strange place. I mean, it was not home, right?
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I mean,
did you get up to mischief there?
Lots. I learned to ride a motorbike in Standard 9. The hostel supervisor taught me how to ride, and I've been riding ever since. So this morning I was thinking, do I ride in? So I thought I'd take the car.
So you have a bike as well?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Do you sometimes use it just to get through traffic?
I use it all the time, which irritates my colleagues.
Where are your offices?
In opposite Investec.
So you're here in San. There's that fancy oldish looking building. It's not old, but it looks old.
Yes.
I got
you. Yeah, that's where we are.
All right. Now, what kind of legal stuff do you deal with at Old Mutual? I mean, what is your main preoccupation legally there? Is it?
Look, the biggest preoccupation talks to the customer, right? So it's all about the regulatory aspect of doing financial services, right? So. Mm-hmm.
That's very broad.
So people who sell or provide financial services and advice to the community, to the citizens, mm-hmm. have to be accredited.
Right. This is that whole FSB thing, right?
Yes. So I should have an office at the FSB. I'm there.
You deal with them all the time.
Yeah. So you do that. A lot of customer related legal stuff. In other words, I mean, there's an agreement between you and Old Mutual when you buy a policy, when you invest your money, and we should meet that contract. But it must be a fair contract. It must have good customer outcomes, as the new buzzword TCF. You know, treat customers fairly.
Right.
You would think that you shouldn't be told to treat customers.
You should have just do it anyway.
So most of your work is that. But then there's also fancy work, like, you know, you buy a company, then there's mergers and acquisitions. At the moment.
And every time you launch a new product, you have to make sure that it complies, blah, blah, blah.
From the brochures right through to the policy document, the application form, to all of those. Yeah,
it's amazing. There's some things you can sell that you don't really need to explain anything to the customer. And there are other things that are so heavily regulated that you can't get away with not explaining everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you're in, unfortunately for you, or fortunately, depending, you're in one of those businesses where you have to be very clear about what it is you're selling.
Very, very clear what you're selling. And some of these things are on a 25-year horizon. Right?
So I invest now, and I'm looking to.
So today you say this is what we advise you to do, so that when you get to year 25, you are in this position, right? And then the US elects Trump in year 15,
and then
so things
and your whole investment is thrown away. Yeah, the toilet.
So we're very lucky. We have very clever people. People who've studied actuarial science, and they model all of these things, and they try and make sure that, you know, customers come out at a good place.
So how many people are you responsible for in the company?
Jeez. Well, in SA, it's about 140.
Wow. That's a lot of people.
And then,
are they all lawyers or most of them?
Most of them are lawyers.
Yeah.
Part of my portfolio is corporate affairs, and that's how my career comes in. They do philanthropy and development finance and, you know, really good hard stuff. I mean, it's part of the portfolio that I enjoy the most, because you go out to the Eastern Cape, put together some women, they plow the field, you give them a tractor, and all of a sudden they're in commercial agriculture. You know, so,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
So when did you become involved in My Future, My Career, and what drew you to it, made you interested?
A very persistent, short Jewish guy.
Yeah, Martin Sweet.
Hey.
Sweet, huh?
Who we know very well.
He's probably under the table right now asking for things. But he is persistent.
Yeah, so I don't... I spoke at an event for Partners for possibilities
right.
at NetBank, and Martin was in the audience. And as I was walking out, he asked me for my card. He says, I know you're very busy, because I had another engagement after that one. So I gave him my card, and...
And you've hated that ever since.
I did until I met him. So I unfortunately I had to cancel a few times on him because
right.
yeah
things happen.
My diary never works. So we sit down and he says, Joel, I know you're busy. Mm-hmm. All I want is 500,000 rand.
Oh,
well, you know.
I said, okay. So he explained what they were doing.
At that point, you were really thinking, well, if it gets rid of him, it's maybe worth it. Stop calling me.
No, at that point, I actually appreciated the fresh approach.
Yeah.
You know,
because most people, they'll tiptoe around the point.
Show you brochures and the PowerPoint. Sure. So he explained what the 500,000 rand was for, mm-hmm. and why is it happening the way it's happening at such a late stage and so on. And I said, okay, I'll give it to you. And then there was this silence. And
he almost couldn't believe his life.
Aren't we supposed to argue? I said, no, you're doing a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have the budget, but I'm going to go find it. So don't worry.
You see, a lot of people underestimate the role that corporate South Africa plays, I think, in helping to push the agenda of education and helping people fill those gaps in our education system. And also giving kids an opportunity after they've been educated to find jobs.
Yeah,
because that wouldn't happen unless there was an element of corporate social responsibility.
Exactly.
And it makes up a huge part of where the good stuff happens in society,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah. And for an industry like ours that is basically driven by brains, all right? It's not labor intensive. It's like you need a lot of smart people looking at really difficult problems like the world economy and the macro and the micro and all of those things. It's not only corporate social responsibility, it's actually growing your own timber. It's about sustainability. Because if you don't have enough maths graduates, you're not going to have enough actuaries. If you don't have enough actuaries, you're not going to have enough people for the financial services to grow. And if you don't have that,
there's no Old Mutual.
Exactly. Right. So that's the view we take. Mm. But for Anglo, I probably would have been working in a factory in Poch somewhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that how it happened for you?
That's how it happened for me.
Did you get a bursary when you were...
I got a scholarship from Anglo to do engineering.
Wow.
Because I toyed around with maths and science.
You must have been an impressive student.
Not actually. Look, yesterday I had a conversation with a colleague. And it was my birthday on Friday.
Oh, happy birthday. Mine's this Friday.
I'll phone you.
Saturday.
So, I have a friend that I'm...
Can I have 500,000 rand?
Yeah, for his birthday.
For his birthday.
This is apt timing.
Yeah, I'm just going to be upfront about it.
A week difference.
Is he going to use it to transport some school kids from...
Yeah, I might do that as well.
Yeah. So
what did you do for your birthday? You were having a conversation with a colleague?
No, for my I decided in 98 I'll never work on my birthday ever again. So
good for you.
I take a day off.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So I've got a friend from 1984 from the same high school and so we spend the day, and in the evening a whole group of us got together. And I was saying to them, I feel like such an underachiever, guys. You know? And Benji was laughing. So, because he knows what I'm talking about. So I feel like an underachiever because Benji is Dr. Benji, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's got an LLD in tax, right?
That is some smart stuff.
So, and that's Prof Ngumezulu, right?
Yeah.
He's a professor of radiology. He went to the same school.
You are the black sheep of your class.
So those are the kind of people who I went to.
But isn't it important though to mix with those kinds of people? You need to have people around you who inspire you and who motivate you. And clearly these are the people you have your best conversations with because they raise the level of the discourse.
And they know you.
Yeah.
right? They know, yeah, they know what you got up to yesterday at 8.
Right.
Yeah.
So they know where to hit you where it hurts.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So from Maths and Science, got Anglo scholarship, ended up at UCT. From Potch, that's got a bit of a culture shock. Mm. Spent 2 years doing engineering. And as part of that, you have to do VAC jobs. And Anglo would place you at an installation closest to your home.
Okay.
Makes sense. And the installation closest to my home was a mine called Western Deep Levels.
Very famous mine. It's some of the deepest mines in the world.
Exactly. So because I was doing mechanical engineering, the team that I was allocated to was the support team. It was like the structural support team.
Okay.
The guys who calculate the force of the rock and to make sure that, you know, there's enough movement but no crashing.
Right. So you're responsible for people's lives, effectively.
Well, I was just a student, but these guys are. So right. You follow them around and they show you how to use this equipment and how to measure, how to do it, and how to map. And after a week of that, I decided I am not built for this stuff. So I went back and spoke to my mentor and I said, look, you know what? I've always wanted to be a lawyer. Just never had the money for it. I'm going to go for it now, whether you guys like it or not.
Mm.
I said, but it's only 2 years to go, finish your, you know, engineering, and then you can do law. I said, nope. You know, so that's how I ended up being a law student.
That's a ballsy move, though, because a lot of people would feel indebted in some way to Anglo, and you'd feel, oh, well, I need to stick it out with these guys, even if you hate it. Do you know how many people there are in jobs all over the country now who hate what they do?
Yeah, but they're too far down the line. At least I was still, you know.
But it's brave. Most people wouldn't be brave at the beginning.
You know when I realized it was brave? When I left university and I owed 37,000 rand. Because after Anglo ditched me, they wouldn't pay for law.
Mm, of course
they refused. Mm. I went to Standard Bank and I said, can I borrow some money? Fortunately, they lent me money. And that plus jobs at Pizza Hut, DJing 21st, you know how it goes.
Sure, you do what you have to do. And I worked at the SABC. We have to do what we have to do.
Not quite. But anyway, so, I finished law, was very lucky, got a job at Bowman Gilfillan.
Big firm.
Big firm. Resigned after 4 months.
Wow, you just don't, you do not have staying power if you don't love what you're doing.
Resigned after 4 months and went and joined the one-man show in Parktown, the best move of my life.
What is that all about? What was this?
I remember saying to my best friend Eric Trubody, who was a partner at the time, I said, why are you leaving? I said, I'm black. I need to know my shit. I need to know it quickly.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting here twiddling my thumbs.
Wow.
So I joined the one-man show, and in the one-man show, you make the coffee, you draft summons, you deliver the summons. You go to the magistrate court, you fetch the kids from school, you drop off dry cleaning. You
are everything.
And that was my best lesson, you know.
It was Bayepi Incorporated.
Run back court.
And you were all three partners.
Yeah. No, I had the boss, and then you just pushes everybody around. And I remember doing my first opposed application. You know, most of them are unopposed, you know. Mm.
So that's paperwork.
For that level, you know, you just submit the papers, get the signature. So this one is somebody's going to argue against you, and this is the first time. He gives me the file that morning, and he says, if you lose this, better get another job.
Wow, so the stakes are high.
So, yeah. But it was fun. That was fun. Eventually,
you won that case, right?
I did, against Mr. Shul. It was. I always write that down. So it's like,
Mr. Shul who?
Mr. Shul was a seasoned lawyer.
Uh-huh.
He had a beard this long. And he said to me before the hearing, you know I've been doing this for more than 37 years, right?
To intimidate.
Why don't we just agree?
Wow. So, you didn't back down.
I said, I'm not allowed to agree. Actually, if I lose, I need
to
find another
job.
So, and there was another lady there. I forget her name. She was always at court. She was a lawyer.
Yeah.
Gave me a few tips. Told me not to panic. You'll be fine. Your papers are good. So, yeah. I always appreciated that from that.
And now you are the guy at the top in Old Mutual with all the legal affairs going on beneath you, and you have lawyers. Do you look at them sometimes and think of yourself when you just started?
I I do always. I relate the best to the most junior of anything, whether they're lawyers, actuaries, or accountants, or because you know, Gareth, one of the saddest thing about, especially my profession, is that the top guys actually forget that somebody opened the damn door for them. I mean, they didn't come out of a university and get onto that partnership track.
Yeah.
Somebody thought,
I'm gonna send the lift back down,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's not bad, you know? And that's what happens. Some guy sitting at lunch will say, that Gareth boy is not bad, you know? And everybody in the firm start thinking, Gareth is not so bad.
Yeah.
Similarly, somebody at lunch would say, Joel is rubbish. And everybody in the firm now thinks Joel is rubbish. And it breaks a lot of young people and it destroys lives.
You got kids?
Four.
Four of them?
Yeah. I need to discover what causes these things.
Oh.
You missed that lesson in school, huh?
Four such times a
smart,
over.
Such a smart man, but he's missed out on that one thing.
And I've got a child in every age group.
Tell me.
My daughter's 26.
Yeah? You don't look old enough to have a 26-year-old.
I had her when I was not supposed to be having kids.
Okay.
She's in Cape Town. I think she tweets for a living or something.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. It's one of those new professions. Nice.
New careers.
Do you understand that at all? People who tweet for a living? Does that make any sense to you?
Oh, she tried to explain, but...
Okay.
All right, then you got a 26-year-old. Who else?
And I have a 17-month-old baby.
Oh.
Whoa,
okay.
Sure.
Brave,
very new.
Brave man to have all these kids of different age groups. That's a massive gap between your 26-year-old
and
your little kid.
I have a princess who's 14.
Yeah.
And I have my son who's 21 trying to figure himself out.
All right. So you really have your work cut out for you.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a time where you weren't ferrying kids to school.
There wasn't a time when I was raising kids.
And now
kids.
You've got this tiny, almost 2-year-old.
Yes.
Boy or girl?
It's a boy.
Oh. So 2 boys, 2 girls. Okay. Well, listen. I mean, you seem like the kind of guy I'd like to have a dad. Like, right?
Yeah. I think you must tweet Neo that.
Yeah, we are.
just to make Neo a little bit more grateful. What's your favorite thing to do? You said you ride bikes, but what else do you do for fun? Because you have to have a pressure valve, right?
Look, it's difficult. I lived in Cape Town for 6 years because of Old Mutual. We just came back to Joburg last December.
Mm-hmm.
Very happy with that. I can see my parents now. But the best thing to do is to go out on a gravel road on a bike and be away from people. That's my best.
Have you ever had bad falls, accidents?
Well, just in case my wife is listening, never fall off my bike.
Oh. Never. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's winking a lot, so I'm not sure I know what to believe here.
Because you know they say there are two kinds of bikers.
Right? Yeah.
Those who have fallen and those who are going to fall.
Oh,
right.
Okay. There's, so.
That is a fun
way
to spend
If you don't
time.
Really want to get fall off a bike, don't get on a bike.
Ben, you ride a bike.
Oh, that's true.
Where are you, Ben?
I have fallen.
Okay,
thankfully, not nothing too bad, but I have fallen. Everyone falls.
Yeah.
It's like when you fly a drone. Everyone crashes it.
What do you think young people in this country need to know that they may be not hearing this message clear enough? Because we have a lot of young people who are confused, a lot of young people who don't see a lot of opportunity for them in the marketplace. We have massive unemployment. Huge companies like Old Mutual are employing less and less people, perhaps not more and more as it used to be in the past. And they might be looking at their future and going, there's nothing for me.
Gareth, it's difficult. It's difficult because I spend a lot of time in spaces trying to solve that very, very problem. And the difficulty is you hear a lot of people get on podiums and say how these kids are unmotivated and they're directionless and they do drugs and they, you know. And my generation especially would say, I mean, you know, we had less and we, you know, we... But if you think about my generation and my friends, our lives were very different. And when we got a chance, the one thing we did not want is to go back to our lives. Let me tell you something. I did not want to go back to Ikageng. So as soon as I got on the track that will take me out of that situation, you sort of hang on to it, right?
You would do whatever it takes.
To get out of there. Then you take my kids' generation. They actually don't have any motivation to move out of their house. They've got their own room. They've got, you know, so their motivations are different. That's the first thing. The second thing is, people have forgotten the size of the world when we were growing up and the size of the world when my kids and kids that age are growing up. It's big, it's confusing, and it's predatory, right? So for example, I had two working parents, no nanny, but I was safe every day.
Mm.
You can't say that of kids
now.
Today. Yeah. So the stuff they fight daily, and whether they fight that stuff at St. John's or in the primary school in Deep Sloot, it's that. I only had to fight stuff this big, right?
Mm.
If there was a porn magazine in boarding school, it was the only magazine and...
It was so frayed at the edges, you could barely see the pictures anymore.
Right?
Now, the internet...
No, they've got that in their pocket.
Right.
Mm.
And they don't have to make friends to get to borrow... I'm not trying to be cute. I'm just saying the things that kids fight daily today are so huge. And all we do is judge, number one. Number two, I find it difficult to talk about it. And that's why I support people like Martin Sweet. Because, you know, they can talk... Because I don't even think I've got the language. I mean, if I walked to walk into Tembisa and find 10 young people, I don't think I've got the language to reach them, right? Because it's easy, retrospectively, looking back, I had it harder. You know those stories? Yeah. I walked to school barefoot, uphill, right, both ways.
Yes, and nobody wants to listen to that.
Exactly. So
no young person wants to hear someone older than them telling them how much harder it was for them.
Yeah, so you sort of... say, if you can get to at least 50 and then they can come tell their story, you know, it will replicate. But you talk about less employment opportunities, shrinking economies, not so smart decisions by leadership the world over.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, how do you include young people in making their own lives better, you know? And that's the hardest part, because not every single one of those young people will be, come, I want to make my life better, you know?
Yeah, there's some people who just also, they might not have the personality or the skills to be able to do the thing that they have in mind as their dream. Or they will. But, you know, some people, you've got to be realistic too. And we see a lot of stuff that's put out, and this is something I talk to Randall about often. He says that he blames Oprah for a lot of this stuff.
Yes.
He says that she's been telling people they could do whatever they want.
Yes.
And they can be anything they want to be. And he said some people can't.
Yes.
He always complains. Randall always says, I wish I could have been a footballer, but I'm just not built for it. I wouldn't be the greatest footballer. There's no way I'd earn Cristiano Ronaldo money.
Randall would not want to be a footballer. You and I know this.
He says so. He says so. He's lying. All right. Well, I mean, it's a pleasure to spend a bit of time with you, Joel, and thank you. I think you're very inspiring. Your story is terrific. I think your kids have got a hell of a thing to live up to if they're going to be like their dad.
Yeah, I don't want my kids to be like me.
No, I don't think that would be a bad thing. They ended up like you. You seem like a very refined, sensible, sophisticated human being. I don't see why that would be a problem.
Who says refined and sophisticated is the thing to
be? Well, you're sitting listening to jazz with Mr. Abrahams. I think you are.
No, thanks. You're too kind. But I just wish we could let them be, you know.
You know, they'll end up all right, because it's also...
I mean, you turned out okay.
Christ. I turned out all right, and you know what a disaster I could have been. Listen, it is also, despite all the things that you've said, it's also the best time to be alive. And I keep saying this to young people too, is that the opportunities are endless.
Oh, yes.
That the the availability of resources is like never before. I mean, you know how hard it was if you were interested as a young man in Gauteng to find out about some aspect of science, technology, sport, entertainment. To look that up, you would have had to go to a library. You would have had to try and find it. Maybe it wasn't there. It was impossible to find this information. These days, again, thanks to mobile technology and the internet and everything else, there are resources that weren't there for you. And the world is big, but that means that there are big possibilities as much as there are complications.
Big challenges, yeah.
Yeah, let's make it happen.
Okay.
And just make sure that Old Mutual don't get sued or anything, because that's your number one.
No. We always do the right thing. It's very difficult to sue us. No, people have tried.
It's very difficult to sue us.
Hey.
Because you got some great lawyers.
No, because we did the right thing. People have tried.
All right, Joel, thank you so much for coming to see us.
It's a pleasure, guys.
Joel Baepi, who is with Old Mutual, but that's not the most interesting thing about him, if you ask me. Lots of good stuff to talk about. We'll come back with the unnews and a little bit more, and then we're out of here at 9 o'clock, making way for some excellent shows today on cliffcentral.com. Make sure you don't go anywhere. Mubs, here's your song.
Oh, goodness.
You get another one this morning.
Okay.
You ready?
Ah.
That one with issues.
I've got issues.
There we go. It's Julia Michaels, Issues. An interesting guy that Joel was. You know, we really do get people in here sometimes and you think, oh, well, you know, this guy could turn out to be really interesting or he might not be. And this guy was such a refreshing, interesting human being. Wow.
Yeah.
Stories to tell, great manner about him, just a cool guy to have a chat to.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? That's the kind of person I want to meet. Celebrities be damned. Huh? Wow. All right, listen to this quickly. Yesterday, you know that the other day I asked Jane Malachi, who is here at cliffcentral.com, I asked her opinion on the whole Grace Mugabe thing. Well, I asked her what she thought of the fact that Grace Mugabe has left the country, and she had the following to say. She's pretty straightforward, our Jane, about how she feels. Listen to this.
All right, Jane, so Grace Mugabe has gone back.
Yes, Papaji. But the thing that I don't understand, this diplomatic thing. And now, what we have to do and what she have to do? She was supposed to take the money or what? Because now she's gone.
But Maite Nkwanamashabane is the Minister of International Relations.
Yes.
She signed the paper that gives Grace immunity.
To go.
Yeah.
Back home. Mm. You think that is fair?
Well, I'm sure that model who's been hit doesn't think it's fair.
In other words, even me, I have to hit somebody. I'm not going to arrest that because I have to be like Mugabe's wife. Mm. In other words, I can...
So, one rule for her, different rule for you.
You know what? What I'm asking myself, if you're president's wife, you have to do whatever you feel like, and you're not going to arrest that. You're not even going to need a diplomatic thing to protect yourself. Mm. Mugabe and your wife, you are full of shit.
Oh.
Right to the point. Huh?
I'm so glad that
I'd love her to be the Minister of International Relations. You imagine how much we'd get done.
Yeah.
Bona, I'm just glad that she's here in South Africa because you can't say that in Zimbabwe about the President and the First Lady.
Jane is not afraid.
No, she's not.
In other words, she's a Jane Malachi. In other words.
Yeah, she's completely unafraid. Ben, I've noticed that you and Jane now get along. You're no longer enemies.
Oh, when did this happen?
I don't know, but she speaks about my Ben.
I don't think enemies is the right word.
No, yes, it was.
Okay, fair enough.
Oh, what? How would you term it rather than?
Jane's a very intelligent and sophisticated woman, and I generally get along with those kind of types.
So what was the problem in the beginning when the two of you would bump heads?
I think she just confused me with other white guys.
Jane, are you friends? Are you and Ben friends now?
Hold on, what did you say?
I think we might.
You know what, Ben?
You're sophisticated and
intelligent. Drop that attitude of yours. Otherwise, I will tell you, go to hell, Baba.
Okay.
No. I was Jane.
Hey, Mabali.
Oh, no. He was actually saying nice things about you.
He didn't say, I'm comparing with other white guys.
Oh, no. He said, He thinks, oh, wrong English. You thought, Hori, he's just like those other white guys.
Which is other white
those
guys?
Problem,
ah, wait. Those, which is other white guys?
Those problematic white guys.
Which one? Because Mugabe is black and Zuma is black. Which one are you talking about?
That's it.
Okay. Ben, you take over.
No, she's gone off the tangent. You can't stop her from here.
Behave yourself.
That lasted all of 3.5 seconds.
I was sure that you were getting along.
The bliss, the happiness.
Yes, yes. Who was she shouting at the other day? Someone got like the sharp end.
I was Jane shouting at. Yeah, she shouts at someone at least once a day.
What an exciting day. We've got a couple other shows coming up later on, which we'll tell you about in a moment or two. And we've got the Unnews. We were meant to play a game, but we'll probably have to do that tomorrow because we're out of time now. What do you want to do? Do you want to get to Unnews? Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Gareth, we've done well this morning.
Yeah. I think we've done well enough.
Well, just quickly looking
just
over.
Congratulate ourselves and move
yeah,
on.
Yeah, okay.
What did you want to say, Sia?
Quickly looking over the lineup for today. 9 a.m. Disrupt with Mbumintlapo, powered by T-Systems.
Yeah, I see Dion Chang is making an appearance.
Very nice.
That's going to be a very cool conversation. 10 a.m. The Good Stuff with Brent Lindekue and Kerry. Right. 11 a.m. Opinion Booth. 12 p.m. The Laws of Life. 1 p.m. Daily Maverick Show. 2 p.m. Beyond Ears and Eyes. 3 p.m. A replay of this show. And 6 p.m. A new edition of The Renegade Report.
Okay, very good.
Where they tweet awesome things.
Where they tweet, yeah, you should follow the Renegade Report, even if you completely disagree with them, because it is funny. They tweet some funny stuff. Here's what you need to know this morning. All the important news. Bonang's book is officially being reworked. After being taken off the shelves, Bonang is confident that her story will return and without any spelling or grammatical errors. Many believe correcting spelling mistakes won't be enough to improve the book, though, so her publishers have replaced mentions of Somizi with the Khaleesi, just to keep up with current interests.
Oh.
Jimmy Mani is really excited about being the Gupta frontman around ANN7 and the New Age deal. Mani, a bank account holder, unlike the Guptas, is now going to be rolling in the e-bucks and other banking rewards associated with large amounts of money being associated to an account. He finally gets to go into airport lounges without having to drop names bigger than his. Good luck, Jimmy. Finally, the books are currently en route to Salta in Argentina. It will take them most of the week to get there, so the players will finally get a chance to catch up on movies and series. All except coach Alistair Coetzee. He only watches Game of Thrones with his wife at home, so has threatened to drop any player that shares spoilers on the latest episode. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Have an excellent day in the company of cliffcentral.com. Be good, and we will catch you on the morrow. Mavs, you want to add any last words of wisdom? No, I didn't think so. Thank you very much. All right.